It's so good to be here this morning. I'm glad you're here joining with us. My name is Kevin Giordano. I'm the lead pastor here at Charleston Baptist Church, and I want to welcome you to our worship time as we gather together to worship Jesus Christ. If this is the first time you've joined with us, thank you so much for being our guest. If you've been a longtime attender of Charleston Baptist Church, thank you so much for your faithfulness, your service, and also your generosity. I want to remind everybody, tonight we are going to kick off our second time of doing interactive Bible study on Sunday night. We'll start tonight at 6 o'clock. And basically all that is we're going to have some group time right in here in the sanctuary. Part of that group time will include a little bit of teaching. It'll also include a short video. And then we're going to break out into smaller groups throughout the sanctuary primarily. And in the midst of those groups, there's going to be some discussion questions that we're going to look through. We're going to look at some other scripture, and most importantly, we want to connect with other people, and we also want to begin to pray and build relationships with other people. And so tonight, we're going to kick off that series of gospel and life. Grace changes everything. It changes the way that we view our city. It changes the way that we look at the inner parts of our heart and our lives. It makes us address the idolatry that we find in our life. It puts our perspective on the life to come when Jesus comes again or we die and go to Him. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you to be a part of that particular study as a church. Also tonight, our kids' music ministry and Half Notes are going to kick off their year as well. And so that starts tonight, same time, 6 o'clock. And so I want to encourage you to bring your children. They will learn about Jesus. They will do devotions in their groups as well. And so it's an awesome time for our church as we begin 2018, really praising Jesus. We want to center on Christ. I want to remind everybody that next Sunday, the 28th, it'll be our last day to collect a love offering to two awesome ministries. One of them is the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, which supports international missions all across the world. And then the second one goes to the Low Country Pregnancy Center, where we have bottles right outside these doors, empty bottles, and we don't want to bring them back empty. We want to make sure we put loose change, dollar bills, checks, whatever it is, in there, because it helps support an awesome local ministry here, right here in Charleston, as they minister to specifically young women and families about the options that they have concerning their unborn child. And not just that, but it drives them to a place where they see the love of Jesus Christ. And so we're so thankful to be a part of that ministry. And so I want to encourage you to go ahead and get your bottle today and bring those in no later than next Sunday. If you're joining with us this morning for the first time, we're in the middle of a series called Vision 2018. And basically, we're just unpacking really the vision that God has laid on our hearts as your pastors for our church and for this community. And Vision 2018 centers around three important words: a recapture, a realign, and remodel. And last week, we began looking at Vision 2018 as we unpacked the concept of recapture. And so if you were unable to be here last week, I want to encourage you to go to the church website. On the church website, you'll see the audio portion of that sermon, and you'll be able to join right in as it connects to today's message. You know, Vision 2018, the recapture component, is the most significant component of Vision 2018. The beauty behind recapturing our love for God, our love for His church, and His love and our love for those who are unchurched, those who have no relationship with the Lord, or those who know about Jesus but haven't connected with Jesus. I don't know about you, but if you hear a statement like, "Do you want to love God and love the church and love those who are unchurched deeper, pure?" Is that something that you would say yes to? Is that something that you would say, "I want to do those things. I want to have a more genuine love for those three areas in my life"? I hope you say yes. And that's why we started off last week looking at a powerful passage in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It's in this passage that we really see the process of what we call recapture. It's the process that begins with being honest with God. The scripture says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. God, reveal to me what you see about me." Because many of us assume that we love those areas. That there is a honest love for God and love for His church and love for those who don't know the Lord. We say it, but is it really genuine? Is it really a passion? Is it really a God-birthed passion for you? And that's why it's important for us as we unpack all of this, it's important that we allow God to search us. That we are honest with Him where those areas aren't lining up. And we listen to what He tells us. The Lord is gracious and good to reveal to us the condition of our hearts. The part that we have to understand is, are we willing to listen to what He says? And then that process continues. Lord, I want to do whatever it takes on my end to be right with you. He says, try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me. Lord, if there's any lack of gospel-driven love in any of those areas, Lord, reveal it to me. Make it known to me. And my response to that revealing is confession and repentance. Lord, I confess my sin before you, and I repent of my evil ways, and I am turning towards you. And Lord, as that process continues, Lord, I ask that you lead me into your ways. He finishes that verse in 24 with, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Lord, I trust you where you're leading me. You know, oftentimes in the Christian life, the Lord leads us in places we probably don't want to go. Places that are uncomfortable. Places that are unknown. Places that require us to give up more of our selfishness than we really want to. And so the end of that part is to say, Lord, I trust where you're leading me. Lord, wherever you're leading me, I know you're not going to let me go on my own. You're going to be with me through the process. And so this week, as we continue to unpack Vision 2018, we're going to look at the second word, and the second word is realignment. And so before we go to that part, let's open up in the word of prayer and ask God to bless our time. Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for all those who are gathered with us this morning. Lord, I pray that we don't move past last week, the recapture part, but Lord, that recapture part is the foundation for this week and the weeks to come. Lord, that there is a passion that you have birthed in us because of the gospel to love you and to love the body of Christ and to love those who don't know you. So Lord, as we turn our attention to this realignment part, Lord, I pray that you would remind us that this isn't something different. This is something that moves us towards the recapture part. These things are connected. And so Lord, I pray that through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God, you will show us and reveal to us how these things are connected to one another. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so that's really what's important. As we unpack the realignment part, everything about realignment points us back to recapture. These aren't separate things. These things come together. And realignment, the process of realignment, really focuses around three important things for us. And that is this. To realign our focus on intentional relationships, to realign in growth in global and local missions, and to realign movement towards unity in the body of Christ. Those three big areas. And if those three big areas point to the recapture part, love God, love the body of Christ, and love those who don't know Him. And so this morning we're going to look at the first phase of realignment. Again, it's a process. It's a process that's built on prayer, so that's important as well. And so as we look at Vision 2018 and this concept of realignment under the focus on intentional relationships, I want to read a passage of Scripture in John 13 where the Scripture says, and this is Jesus speaking, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all the people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so out of that passage, there's a big question that I want us to ask and answer this morning, and that is the question, What intentional relationships should we focus on? What intentional relationships should there be realignment around in order to position us in a place where we will recapture our love for God, our love for the church, and a love for the unchurched? Well, in this particular passage, there are three specific relationships that are birthed out of that passage. And so we're going to spend the rest of our time today unpacking different scriptures that point back to John 13. And then at the very end, we'll read John 13 together and you'll see those areas more clearly. And so the first specific relationship that there needs to be really a focus of intentionality, which is the most important relationship that you and I have, it is our relationship with God. Your relationship with God. If you miss this, you'll miss everything. There is no greater relationship than this. If you have any desire for holiness, any desire for unity, any desire for distinctiveness in the culture that we live in, any desire for purpose, any desire for the ability to express and to show and to grant restoration and reconciliation and forgiveness, any desire of missional living, any desire to purposely, intentionally raise your kids for the honor and the glory of the Lord, it flows out of that relationship right there, your relationship with God. This is exactly how Jesus lived when he fulfilled his ministry in this world. Over and over again, you see Jesus spending time with his Father. Jesus was dependent on him. In the same way in which Jesus was dependent on and prioritized his relationship with his Father, he tells us, he teaches us that same priority, that same dependency. He teaches us that in John 15. In John 15, verses 4 and 5, the scripture says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And the setting of this passage is so critical because between John 13 and John 17, some very important things happening in the life of Jesus and the life of his disciples. You see, Jesus goes from washing the feet of his disciples and sharing a meal with them to being betrayed by one of them. He goes from teaching them about heaven. He goes from revealing to them that this helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to come and comfort them and counsel them, to him being arrested, him being tried, him being crucified, and him being buried in a grave. And right smack in the middle of those events, we find ourselves in John 15. You see, Jesus moves from the upper room in John 13, and he takes his disciples on a walk, a 1 mile walk, and he teaches them the final message. And in John 15, he enters a vineyard, and it's in that vineyard that Jesus reveals a key relationship for them in this world. If you want to overcome the circumstances that this world is going to throw at us, if you're going to anchor your life in the living hope that is found in the gospel, Jesus reveals the key to that, and he says, "Abide in me. Abide in Christ." That is the only command found in John 15. Abide in me. If you want to glorify God with your life, if you want to bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, if you want to have peace in the midst of unbearable circumstances, you must abide in Christ. You see, the key to living the entire Christian life is found in that one word, abide. Not going out and doing a bunch of things for him. That's what we normally try to do. We try to muster up enough strength to do the things that we know that Scripture is teaching us. But we can't do it on our own. We don't have the power to do it. Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He doesn't say, "Apart from me, things are going to be quite difficult, but you'll still make it." He says, apart from me, apart from that priority of relationship with me, you can do nothing. You see, Jesus has invited us into a personal, daily relationship with Him, where we can rest in Him, where we can learn from Him, where we can be restored in Him and used by Him. But we have been deceived in many ways to thinking we can do it on our own. Part of it's natural, part of it's cultural. But the Scripture says something totally different. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to who? To Christ." Just like Eve was deceived in Genesis chapter 3 to live life on her own and in her own strength, you and I are relentlessly being led astray in that area. And that's why Jesus says, abide in me, cling to me, rest in me, hold fast to me. Again, that is the command here. Abide in me. And when we abide in Christ, we find and experience what? His grace. We experience His grace because it's in the midst of that vineyard that the grace of God reaches down over and over again, no matter what, picks up us off the ground. He cleanses us. He restores us. He places us back into the place of growth, place of purpose, the place that you and I were always supposed to be. When you abide in Him, when you are intentional in your relationship with Him, you will experience the gospel of grace. And that's one of the things I think we miss out. Grace just isn't about justification when you come to Christ, when your sins are forgiven. Man, grace is the lifeblood of the Christian. It is what brings about what the Scripture would call sanctification, how you grow in Christ, how you are more and more in the image of Him, that you have the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ and the passions of Christ. You love what He loves and you desire what He desires. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15, it says, for the love of what? Christ. It does what? It controls us. It captivates us. It compels us. There's a movement that happens because of the grace of God, the gospel, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who, for their sake, died and was raised. It's pointing us back to Jesus Christ. The love of Christ. That's what compels us. You see, Christianity is not about being a better you. Wow. That's not what Christianity is. In Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. How can we experience the newness of Christ if we're not spending time with Him? If we're not depending on Him? If we're not prioritizing our relationship with Him? The Christian life is about Christ in you. And as Christ lives in you, you will be changed. It is the desire to know Him, to trust Him, to listen to Him, to abide in Him. It's where you get wisdom. Wisdom that the world doesn't understand. Wisdom in many ways that goes countercultural to the wisdom of this world. It happens in the context of relationship. And when that relationship is prioritized, and when that relationship is a relationship of dependency from you to Him, man, there is power in that relationship. And so for us, as we consider recapture and realignment now, it's important for you and I to intentionally focus on our relationship with God. That leads us to a second relationship, and that is your relationship with believers. Those are who are part of the body of Christ, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. As you read the Bible, there's a two-word phrase that occurs over 40 times. And it's a very powerful phrase. The two-word phrase is this: one another. One another. And every time this phrase is used, it's always in the context of the relationships that you and I have between one another because of Jesus Christ. Because we are adopted into His family. The Scripture says, be at peace with one another. Be kind to one another. Build up one another. Don't complain against one another. Show humility toward one another. And the greatest one another statement is found in John 15:12, where Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And that's a powerful verse right there. Love one another in the same way that I have loved you. Listen, you and I, as the body of Christ, have a responsibility to one another. Do you believe that? We have a responsibility to one another. Of all people, why did Jesus have to say this to them? Why did Jesus have to remind them that they have a responsibility to one another? I believe Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew the strife from the outside that was going to come, and Jesus was also very aware of the strife from the inside that was going to come. Jesus is reminding us that there is going to be a lot of things that are thrown at us, both externally and internally. But we cannot miss out on the very fact that God has commanded us to love one another. You may be asking yourself at this moment, am I able to love like this? I mean, think about that. To love one another as Christ has loved us. Well, the answer is no. We can't do it. Not on our own. Not because we're not going to try hard. That's important. It's not going to be because we don't try hard or we don't mean well. The reason you and I can't love one another the way Christ loves us is because we aren't capable of doing it. On our own, we are incapable of loving one another in the way that Jesus loves us. But we can love one another the way Jesus loves us, as Christ lives in us and through us. You see, we're only able to love others if Jesus loves them through me. Listen, here, that's a great point for us to understand. The church doesn't need the love that you can only produce. I don't need the love that only you can produce. We need the love that only Jesus Christ can produce. That's a whole nother layer, a whole nother level of love. It's why we're called a family. A family that looks different. A family that has different preferences. A family that has different gifts. But we have all been adopted into His family. And so the key to this relationship with believers is this. We must connect in community. We must connect in community. This is exactly what the early church did. They didn't do this because it was an event that happened on Sunday morning. They did this because this is who they were. There was no program needed to connect in community for the early church. They were a part of God's family, and they needed one another. In Acts chapter 2, we see an awesome picture of gospel community. We see the church being the church. It answers the question, why is gospel community so important in the life of the church? In Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, listen to what the scripture says. "And they," speaking about the church, "they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." The scripture says that they devoted themselves. That means that they remained. They held fast to the very things that were so important in the life of the church. Teaching, fellowship, eating meals together, and prayer. And the point of those verses, those two verses, is this. We need each other in order to grow in Christ. Think about that for a minute. That there are places in the life of a disciple of Christ, a life of a believer, where God wants to grow us. And the only way that those areas will grow is if we grow together in community. Verse 44. "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." This doesn't mean that they all liked the same things. I mean, it doesn't say that they all liked the same kind of music or the same kind of decor or the same kind of time when service starts. That's not what the scriptures were replying here. But it is saying that they agreed into the supreme thing. The things that mattered, they agreed with. And as a result, what did the gospel do in their lives? They sold and they shared their things to support one another. They visited one another. They shared meals with one another. They prayed for one another. In reality, this is what the early church did. They weren't dependent on the pastor. They were dependent on one another. That's a huge dynamic shift, isn't it? So often in the life of the church, we look at the paid professionals, and we think that it's their job. Listen, amongst just this room right here, there are people far more wiser than I am. Far more gifted in the counsel of mercy. Almost weekly, I'm calling somebody in our congregation for prayer and for wisdom. We need each other. And that's what the early church did. They depended on one another. You see, recapturing our love for the church requires intentional relationships with each other. We must proactively take care of each other, pray for each other, visit each other, communicate with one another. Man, we got the technology of a text message. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody's love language, but for many of us, we're okay with that. You can text people all day, any day. You can instant message them, whatever. You can throw something up on Instagram, Twitter, whatever your communication style is. But we can't neglect the personal touch of gospel community. There is something about touching a hand or giving a hug or receiving a hug that technology can't do for us. And so it's important for us to connect in community, to use our gifts for the betterment of the church. Think about that for a minute. God, in His grace, has gifted every one of us who are believers in Christ with at least one spiritual gift. Many of us have multiple spiritual gifts. Are we using those spiritual gifts for the betterment of the body of Christ? We need each other to rejoice when we rejoice, to weep when we weep. It's in the context of connecting a community where we can both bless others and receive blessings from others. Amen? That means we're not one-sided in that area. We're not one-sided in the church is about me, bless me. And on the other side, we can't enter the body of Christ with the mindset of, I don't need anything from anybody, but I will give you everything that I have. It's a mutual relationship of receiving blessing and giving blessing. It happens more than just on Sundays, right? The body of Christ isn't meant just to be one day a week. It's a weekly understanding of our need for one another. Unfortunately, in the individualistic culture that we live in, we miss out on the body of Christ, the beauty of the body of Christ, because we assume that the church is only where my needs will be met. And for some, there is no concept of helping meet the needs of the others. And the gospel changes that. You see, being adopted into His family means, again, we have a responsibility to one another. We grow in Christ as we grow together. Connecting in community reveals the fact that we can't do it on our own. And I'm going to give you two illustrations from my life. One of them, when I was 19 and the Lord saved me at 19, I had a relationship with a young lady at the time, and she's the one that led me to Christ, essentially. And at some point between 19 and 20, we got engaged, and we were going to be married because that's what Christians do, right? You meet a Christian, you get married. Well, the Lord changed that dynamic in my life, but something happened to me. The only Christian friends I knew were because of her. And so all the friends that I had were the same friends that she had. And so part of the breaking off the relationship meant that my relationships with those Christians were either gone or radically different. And so for the next 2+ years, I lived my life without connection. Yes, I was busy. Yes, my business at the time, I was doing swimming pools and landscaping, was thriving. But inside, I was dying. The same sins of the past were coming up. My pride, my arrogance, my anger. Partly because I had no church to connect with, to bless them as they blessed me. Fast forward, I met a far greater woman than that. Been married almost 15 years. We've experienced some ups and downs in our relationship. The difference is, the church, Charleston Baptist Church, has been with us through all of those things. Many a times we've sat in a hospital room, getting the news that nobody wants to get. And over again we have said, I don't see how people do it without a relationship with Jesus. And we don't see how people do it without a church family that loves them. Where are you at right now when it pertains to your relationship with the body of Christ? The importance of connection and community. What happens when we intentionally connect with one another in gospel community? I believe the same thing that happened in the early church. Verse 26. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They were joyful. I mean, think about that. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Missions happens in the context of community. The Great Commission was not given to an individual. It was given to a group of disciples. We do it together. We need each other to accomplish God's mission. And this leads us to the last intentional relationship as far as realignment goes, and that is this: your relationship with the world. Your relationship with the world. If we are going to recapture our love for the unchurched, we must intentionally build relationships with those who do not know Jesus Christ. You see, our relationships with the world, or the lack thereof, reveals a lot about our relationship with God, and it reveals a lot about our relationship with one another. You find a church that intentionally invests time with God and with each other, you will find a church that loves those who are unchurched and has relationships with them. It's a byproduct. The same thing was true of Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, we hear these words. And when it was day, he, speaking of Jesus, departed and went to a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. It's interesting that right before this particular passage, Jesus is standing in the synagogue. He opens up the scroll in Isaiah 62, and he unleashes God's mission statement of him to the world. He rolls up the scroll and he sits down and he tells the people in his hearing, the words that you have just heard have been fulfilled in me. And right after that, Jesus is on the move. And there are all kinds of people trying to distract him from that movement, from carrying out the mission. But you get a glimpse of the passion of Jesus where he says, I must, that the word that is used here for must means it is absolutely necessary. If I don't fulfill the mission that God has brought me to this world for, I fail to live the purpose that God has created me for. This is something that I have to do. He's speaking to the church that he has created us for a mission. He has created us for a purpose, to tell about the grace of God. And Jesus says, I must go to the other towns as well. That word other would imply today that nothing is off limits. Nothing has boundaries. There's no person, there is no circumstance, there's no situation where God's grace can't enter in. Why? Because people are the mission. The problems is not the mission. Do you understand that? That's the difference between gospel mission and humanitarian effort. Humanitarian effort treats the what? Treats the physical problem. Gospel mission addresses the physical problem with what? The spiritual need. There's a difference there. It means that all people, all cultures, all backgrounds, doesn't matter the person's past, it doesn't matter where they are today, it doesn't matter what decisions they're making today that will impact their future. The mission is about people. People coming into relationship with God and God being glorified. Through the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and only through the power of the Holy Spirit, this is the key to that relationship. Share your story to tell His story. Share your story to tell His story. You see, Christianity isn't about isolation to the world. We're pretty good about that. We have so marginalized Christianity in the society that we live in because we withdrawed from everything. Christianity isn't about isolation to the world. The message of the gospel isn't a message of isolation. The message of the gospel is a message of incarnation. God didn't stand outside of humanity and say, "This is who I am." No, He entered into the very places where our lives are wrecked by sin, that experience dysfunction in marriages and family lives. He entered our sin, our brokenness, all the areas of our life that are distorted by sin. Think about it. You live where you live. You work where you work. You go to school where you go to school for the purpose of sharing your story to tell His story. I share my story that I was once dead in my sin by telling His story. But because of Him, because of Christ, I now am alive. Why is it so important? Romans 10:14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching, sharing the story? I think for many of us, we have boxed our relationship with God and with the church to be about us. And as a result, we have neglected the mission that God has equipped us and given us a privilege to be a part of. You know, if you think about the society that we live in, if you think about the culture that we are really a part of in many ways, I believe we are in a time where people are very open to the gospel. But they are watching us to determine if it's real or not. Let that sink in for a moment. When we withdraw from the society, when we withdraw from culture, we have given Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, we have given them the platform to tell people what the gospel is all about. And most often, it's not a true gospel, is it? I believe the community that we live in is open to the gospel. But they're looking at us to see if it's real or not. We will recapture our love for the lost when we intentionally build relationships with them. We meet them where they're at. We share our story to tell His story, pointing them to their need for Jesus. Let's go back to John 13 one more time. Listen to the verse now. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Abide. You also are to love one another. Connect. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Share if you have love for one another." Listen, when we abide in the first relationship, we will connect in the second relationship. And when we abide in the first and connect in the second, we will share in the third. And so as we come to our time of response, I'm going to ask Pastor Sean and the praise team to come up. And I just want you to process really the relationships that are in your life. First and foremost, where are you at with the Lord? The message today was primarily to the church, those who have received Christ by grace through faith. But maybe you're here this morning and You've been attending church for a very long time. You know the facts about Jesus, but you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus. Well, during this time of response, you have an opportunity to just come up and say, man, I have given my heart to Christ, and I want the church to know it. For the very first time, I have recognized my need for Jesus Christ and the fact that the only thing that's going to change my life is Him. And maybe you're here this morning and you have professed Christ to be your Savior. You're genuinely a believer in Christ, but through whatever the circumstances are in your life, whatever the distractions are, the main relationship in your life isn't priority anymore. And most often, it's good things in life that keep us away from the greatest thing, right? Family, children, work, all those different things. And today, the Holy Spirit has called out to you and said, you need to posture yourself in a place of realignment in the greatest relationship in your life, and that is me. And maybe you're here this morning and you realize that, man, there's something that is pulling you away from your love for the body of Christ. The fact that we are adopted in His family. Not because we measure up, not because we necessarily fit together on our own, but because of the Father who loves us and says, this is your new home. This is your new family. And maybe there's a place of confession and repentance for you. Or maybe today you realize, you know what? I have so isolated myself from the world. I have so isolated my children from the world that they have no idea how to share their story, to tell His story to the world that is around them. Whatever the Holy Spirit is challenging you with today, know that He is faithful, know that He is good, know that He is gracious, and He will meet you wherever you are, and He will bring you to the place that He has always desired you to be. So let us stand and sing to Him.